around us, the world in which you and I live in, need us. And if that's not what you're convinced of, then I hope this morning you will get a little better glimpse of what we really need to do to make this world in which we live in a livable place. There's a new job that has been forming for the last several years that has the potential of making tons of money. It's becoming an influencer. I have never heard of that since, you know, just a couple of years ago, first time I heard that there's an influencer and they make tons of money. So what in the world is that? What's an influencer? But it also has to do that I'm not really familiar with social media, so I really have to learn that a little bit better. But it has to do with social media. And if you are someone who has established credibility in a specific industry or area and you have access to a huge audience and you can persuade others to act based on your recommendation, then you're an influencer. If you have 10,000 followers on your social media account, you can start. And then you can build up to become an influencer and make, as I said, tons of money. Daily Dose is, for example, one of them. It's one of those influencing sites. Daily Dose, it reaches over 200 million people every day, persuading them to make a difference with daily quotes, something you can adopt. Another guy who is Cameron Dallas, maybe you have heard of him, 21 million Instagram followers, video previews, music previews, and on, and people listen to him, and he makes tons and loads of money. Social media is, without a doubt, the greatest social influencer today. If you have followed a little bit the news, you have heard about the Russian collusion in the election in the States. How? Social media. We're facing election pretty soon, and guess what? We are facing the collusion of maybe others to influence us to vote this or this way or that way. Social media is something you cannot avoid. It's something that influences us, that we listen to, that we read, that we watch, and that we are taking, that we're taking to get our information from, not knowing all the time whether it's true or not. And Jesus' message today for you is to become and to be an influencer, not making loads of money, but to influence the people that you live with, that you are surrounded with. That is your and my calling today. Jesus, however, doesn't talk about this in such terms because they didn't have social media. He has different terms to talk about that. And you have read it already this morning in Scripture. He talks about it being salt and light. Being salt and light in this world. Jesus once talks about his disciples, and we'll come to this in more a little bit deeply in detail. But he talks about those two symbols that are very easy to remember, and for those people then easy to imagine what they do in order to understand what a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, is supposed to do in this world. Salt. One of the most expensive and important things in the ancient world. People have paid tons of money to have salt. There is salt trade routes, and later on became the spice trade routes. But salt was the only way, only means to preserve food. They had no refrigerators. They had no ice. They had no cold rooms. They had salt. And you put things and fish and meat and salt to preserve it for a long time. It was also a means of disinfection. It was important for anything in the daily world to make it palatable and to make it last long. And then there is light. Light in a world where there is no electricity, where you cannot just flick the switch and you have light. We live in such a lit up world, even at night. But if you have ever been outside, outdoors, somewhere, hiking somewhere, and you really are far away from any kind of light source, you know how important a light is. And even if it's a tiny little flashlight, that gives you light for that moment. Light is this orientation that gives you orientation, that gives you the way to know where to go. And Jesus states very simply here, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of this earth. And this sentence begs a very simple question, and it sounds grammatically wrong. Galeen, who does a wonderful job with the slides, by the way, asked me, did you mean this when you put this on the slide? Yes, I did. So, who is you? Who is you? You are the salt of this earth. You are the light of this world. Who is you? That's a good question, isn't it? Who is it? And remember, Pastor George has already pointed to that. We are in a larger context, which we know as the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is the proclamation, the Jesus proclamation of the reign of God, that God's reign has come to this earth. We know and have heard about it. If not, we repeat it over and over again. His first message that he preached on earth was, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is there. It's ready. It's open. It's here. It's available to you, was his first public message. And here in this two chapters, Jesus lays out the way how the kingdom works, how this kind of reign of God, how that works and how it unfolds in this world. This is not utopia. This is not a way of talking about some future world. It is talking about what it means to live under the reign of God. And then this is what he starts out. And last week we have heard what we call the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. The concept of God's reign was familiar to the contemporaries of Jesus. Israel was supposed to be the demonstration of the reign of God in this world. It was meant to be the light. In the Old Testament, it's referred to that, to the function of the Old, that Israel is supposed to be a light, to point to God, and to show what it looks like if you stay under the reign of God, and what that life is like. And you have passages in the Torah, in the five books of Moses, where it talks about the blessings and the curses of those who either follow God or don't follow God. And he talks about all the blessings that will flow if you submit willingly to the leadership of God. And this leadership of God was represented on this earth by kings who were supposed to present what it looks like when God reigns. But we know the story, it failed badly. And now Jesus comes on earth and he says the kingdom of God is here. It is right now. It is here. It is in me represented here on earth. And Jesus wanted to demonstrate that this kingdom, what it looks like when God reigns. By the way, it's a good way if you read the Gospels to have those glasses on and look at this. What does it look like when God reigns? And then look at Jesus. Because God is just like Jesus. He's just like Jesus. How he interacted with people, what he did, this is what God is like. The religious leaders of his day came up with a clear distinction between who is in the kingdom, who is out of the kingdom. And there was a clear line drawn in the sand to make sure you are in the kingdom, you are not. And that was the law. So the law was a line in the sand and said you're in or out. Either you keep the law to its minutest detail or you're not. And if you keep it, then you're in. If not, God cannot deal with you. That's why in those days in a society, there were people that were just neglected, although they were Jews, but they had no chance to even come close to God and had the idea and the impression that God is inaccessible for us. The shepherds, they couldn't serve God and worship him on Sabbath day. The sheep needed them. They had to work. They were outcasts, the prostitutes, the lepers, all these outside of society, they had no chance to ever come close to God. In their minds, it was clear that God was inaccessible to us. God doesn't care. And here comes Jesus and says, the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus' message was radical. He had said, in other words, heaven is available to all. Heaven is available to all. Jesus' message was never theory. It was never just some theological thought that he threw out there. He lived and preached what he lived and lived what he preached. It was day-to-day life. And when he started the Sermon on the Mount and he talked about the poor in spirit and we talked about those who mourn and we talked about those who are fighting for justice, he didn't talk about a theory. He looked around the people that were gathered around him and he looked in their eyes and says, the kingdom of God is open to you. Welcome in. When we started last week, we looked a little bit about the poor in spirit. Those have nothing to show for. Those have nothing in a spiritual life to show for, to say, oh, I can be proud of who I am and what I achieved in my spiritual walk. He talked to those people and said, I'm not addressing you. I'm addressing those who have nothing to show for. And guess what? The kingdom is open to you. Come on in. Blessed are you. You're blessed. See, Jesus does not talk in the kingdom in those first passages of scripture here in the Sermon on the Mount about something that you need to achieve. And sometimes we read it that way. He doesn't talk about something you need to achieve. He says you need to do that. He says, blessed are you who are that. So Jesus throws open the doors of the kingdom of God and says, welcome in, you shepherds, you prostitutes, you tax collectors, you lepers. Come on in and you look into the life of Jesus. And guess what he did? He reached out to these people and he touched them. And he told them that God loves them and the door is open for you. You can come in. He saw those who were stricken with grief and pain or didn't know where to turn. He saw those who were just soft and were weaklings in the eyes of the powerful and never would make it in this world. And he said, come on in. The kingdom of God is yours. And in fact, the earth is yours. He saw those who were giving their life to social justice without much success. And he said, the kingdom of God is yours and you will see success when you put yourself under the reign of God. With the Beatitudes, Jesus throws open the doors wide open to everyone. It says, the kingdom of God is at hand. What the Pharisees and the Sadducees try to keep shut, Jesus throws open. It says, the kingdom of God is here. Come on in. God is welcoming you. And in fact, his message is the last will become divine first. So how do we apply this message today? And for this, I'm thankful for Dallas Willard, who did some deep thinking about this. And so this is based on what he says. But it makes it very practical, and it makes it even sometimes offensive. So bear with me. What does it mean? To whom is the kingdom of God open? To the overweight, to the bald, to the ugly, to the old, to those who are not relentlessly engaged in romance or sex or fashion or physical activity. They're blessed. Those who don't win Academy Awards and sports scholarships, you're welcome. You're welcome in this kingdom. You dropouts and burnouts, the broke and the broken, the drug addicts and the divorced, the HIV positive and the herpes ridden, the brain damaged and the incurably ill, the barren, the pregnant, and the pregnant too many times and at the wrong time, the overemployed, the underemployed, the unemployed and the unemployable, the swindled, the shoved aside, the replaced, the parents with children living on the street, the children with parents not dying in a rest home, the lonely, the incompetent, the emotionally starved, and even the emotionally dead. And Jesus says, come on in, come on in. The kingdom is for you. And you know how that causes reaction in us, as it did in me when I read this, because we live in this world, we are so programmed to look at the successful and all the other things and try to achieve that and look for those and think this is how the world is run. And Jesus said, no, 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 total opposite. You are you nobodies. You come on in. You come on in. You're loved. You're valuable. Come to Jesus. But the list goes on. And if you're ready to be offended and think more about this, here would be that what it says would also be open. Those who are moral disasters, if you will, are received by God, and they can rely on Jesus and count on him and make him their companion. The murderers, the child molesters, the bullies, the bigoted, the drug lords, the pornographers, the war criminals, the sadists, the terrorists, the perverted, the filthy rich. You're welcome. You're welcome. These are the kind of people you find in the kingdom of God. You are the light of the world. Listen to what Paul says to the believers in Corinth. He said, or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, the idolaters and adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers or swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. That's what some of you were. But you're washed and you're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. These are the ones that are the you. You are the light of the world. These are the ones who came bursting into the kingdom of God through Jesus, the door. Those are the ones who flocked to Jesus in masses and listened to him when he preached, who he touched and who he spent time with, even to the point that the other leadership was wondering, what in the world is he doing? Who is he hanging out with? But Jesus said, these are the ones for whom I have come, to the sick, not to the healthy. These are coming into the kingdom of God. And those who enter into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ can freely confess, yes, that's who we were. We were those. Like that lady that met Jesus at the well, who had several husbands and were living together with somebody else and had a messed up life, so much so that she avoided all publicity when she went to the well. And she met Jesus. And Jesus spent time with her, talked to her, and she understood that the kingdom of God is open to me. I am welcome. God loves me. And she runs back into the village and says, come on, listen to the one who's told me everything I did. No shame anymore. Nothing, no hiding anymore. She knew the God of Israel loves me. Why? Because there is Jesus who opened the door wide for me. Does that sound offensive? That those misfits, those lasts, those unqualified are the light of the world and the salt of the earth? To the ears of the self-righteous ones, yes, it does, who strive to be good and to be morally upright. And please, there's nothing wrong with this. But you see, Jesus is not reaching out to those who think they can make it on their own. It is a message of hope to everyone who is downtrodden, who is depressed, who doesn't seem that anyone cares. Jesus comes and reaches out to you and says, you are welcome. Now, what Jesus tells us here in this text is this. Be who you are. Be who you are. Please notice again, he doesn't say, be a light of this earth. Be a salt. He said simply, you are. You are the salt of this earth. You are the light of the world. You are the ones who have come into the kingdom of God. You were welcomed by the grace of God. You were forgiven and renewed in Jesus Christ. And you are now the light and the salt of this earth. You are, somebody says, God's grubby people. And you're in this kingdom. And as such people who are changed by the grace of God, you are the light of the world. And that's the point. You are it because of the work of God in you. God has done a great work in those who are coming to Him by just forgiving them, reaching out to them. What does it take for a poisoned atmosphere at your workplace or at home to change? When everybody's backbiting, back talking, gossiping, da-da-da, what does it take? It takes one person to be different, just one, and not doing that. And you will change the atmosphere. You might take a lot of criticism. You might take a lot of darts and attack and whatever and misunderstanding, but it will change because you will be different. And see, just this is what Jesus is pointing to when he says you are the salt, you are the light of the world, because you are people who have been changed by God in a tremendous way, and you will be different. And here you can read stories after stories in Old and New Testament, in church history and recent history, where changed people have changed lives and the world around them. Not too long ago, I read the old book, it's long, many have read it, for Corrie ten Boom, who was thrown into a concentration camp, and when she, by God's really providence, came out of it, and later on when she was traveling and talking about the experience that she had, met the person who killed her family in the concentration camp. He came up to her, and she writes so honestly how she struggled. She said, he reached his hand to me, and everything in me, and then she was reminded what God has done in her life. And she reached out the hand, grabbed his hand, and said, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Does that change the world? Do you think so? If you can do this, not act as everyone else would act at the moment, but by the grace of God and the strength that God will give you to do it different. Because you know very deeply, I am that kind of sinner myself. I am that murderer, I am that liar, and I am capable of any other sin, but God's grace, He has forgiven me. I am not better than Him, and I am here by the grace of God. God is the one who changes lives. The kingdom of God is not a group of nice and healthy people. The kingdom of God is a group of sick and sinners who have been healed and forgiven. These are the kinds of the world, these are the kinds of people who make this life on earth manageable. And here we have the second point. Be who you are for the world's sake. The text is about more than just giving your testimony. Often we read this and say, oh, you need to be a light. You need to give your testimony. Well, it's great. You should do that. But somehow we have misunderstood being a light and being a salt by just talking. And we talk way too much. It is about who you are. Who you are and what God has done to you. Do you see the scope of this? You are the salt of the what? Earth. Jesus really has this perspective that this earth is functioning because there are Christians. Wow. That our society can function, your workplace can function properly because there are Christians. Your school, your class can function because there are Christians that are not as mean and as bullying as and doing all kinds of other charades. But be different and stand up for this and make this class, this workplace, a livable place. I mean, haven't you experienced it yourself? You go into the new workplace and you find someone who is just different, who takes care of you, who is nice to you, who helps you, versus, well, everybody looks down on you. You're a competition. You're not welcome here. What difference it makes? You are the light of the world. Dallas Willard says, you are really walking in the good news of the kingdom if you can go with confidence to any of the hopeless people around you and effortlessly convey assurance that they can enter now into the kingdom of God. Why? Because you did. You did. And you can tell those nasty people around you, you can do too. God loves you. And he would welcome you if you would just give him a little chance that he could grab you and you can grab him. You can go to the cheater, the liar, the aged, the weak, and you can say, you're welcome in the kingdom of God. You're blessed. It's your lucky day. And this is what us, your calling is our calling, is a calling of the church to be a different and a difference maker, a world preserver and a light that is orientation for others. And last but not least, be a salt and light for God's sake. In the end, it's all about God. It's all about him. It says so that people will see you and praise God in heaven. That's the point. It's not that you shine and that you get all the glory. It's about that they see that something is different in you and that points to him. See, and if you're in the darkness, if you're camping somewhere out there and you are pitch dark and you need to find the washroom, glad if you have a flashlight. And I think you wouldn't care so much whether the flashlight is red or green, round or whatever form or shape it has. It has lights and it shines. See, and that's how we often see. Often we want to put the attention to the flashlight. Well, isn't that nice? Isn't that gorgeous? Isn't that great? You know, that's not the point. It's the light that shines. So the light that needs to shine through you is what God is doing and has done in your life that shines out into this world and people will see that. So, and that's not talked about. That is lived out. That is lived out. In fact, there are studies out there. I mentioned in some other context already that in the early church, when they talked about testimony and being a testimony, being a witness, it was barely understood as talking rather than living. It changed actually in the Middle Ages when the Bible became in print and it was more emphasis on the word, on the spoken word. And I'll read the stories of the early Christians, how they spread the good news, not by talking so much, but by being different, but caring for those who are smitten with pestilence, and they cared for them because they did not take their lives so important that they were willing to die, while others would go out of the cities and didn't care for them. Christians were the ones who reached out and lived difference. Do you think we need this today? Just think for a moment the place that you will attend tomorrow, your work, your school, your home. What would it need? What would make this a more livable place? And why don't you start? Instead of waiting for the others and moping around about the boss and about the professor and the teacher and the bullies and the other ones, why don't you start and just be who you are, a follower of Jesus Christ, not holding back that you also are somebody who received a tremendous amount of grace and that makes you not better than anyone else. But in fact, it just tells others, if I am a hopeless case and God could deal with me, he can deal with you too. Paul said the same thing, by the way. He said, I'm the greatest sinner, and therefore I hope that he can deal with you too. Remember, you're salt. You are salt and light because of what God has done. Let me read to you this text again, according to Eugene Peterson. It's the message. So let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the good, the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, How will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and you will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as the city on the hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now, if I put you here on the hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you will prompt people to open up with God, his generous Father in heaven. Be a light. See, and in this text, we haven't done all this. We have only limited time this morning. Jesus talks about something totally absurd, that salt loses its saltiness, that light is lit to put under the sheffel, it says in some, or just to be hid. It's absurd. And it's a point that Jesus makes. It's absurd. It's absurd if you are a Christian if you try to live undercover. You need to live there to honor Jesus with all that you are. Now, as we close the service, I would like to do with you one thing together. If you would join me to say the two things so that it is a reminder of you, for you, to what you need to do this week. Say with me the two sentences. One is, I am the salt of the earth and I am the light of the world. Will you? I am the salt of this earth. I am the light of the world. Are you? Let's go and do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are interested in this world. Not just my little tiny world that I live in, but it's still big enough that you're interested in that. And you have done something outrageously gracious in my life, that you have forgiven me of my sins, and I live from day to day by your grace. And as such, I'm a light for this world. I'm a salt for this earth. Father, as we leave this place today, as we prepare for this coming week, let this go with us. Help us to keep those sentences on our tongue that we say, I am the light of this world. I am the salt of this earth. And Father, if we are one of those that we have heard this morning as well, that feel so neglected and not worth anything, that we're those who would be categorized as losers and those who are not measuring up to anything, help us to hear today this message as well, that we are dearly loved and that we are exactly the kind of people who you are looking for. You look for those. You came for those. And that we experience this kind of love that only comes from you, that transforms us in a way that we cannot even imagine. If any one of us is here this morning feeling that way, please, God, open the doors of heaven for them, that they will understand they are welcomed. And this message, and you, Jesus, and you, God, are for them. Wouldn't that be great, God, if they could understand this, and if you would open those doors today wide so that we can come in and then become those people who are true influencers, who truly influence the people around us by just being who we are, followers of you. All this we pray in your precious name.